So some of you know my wife and I went out with another person out to South Africa. So this morning I bring you greetings from Buchlea Methodist Church, which is a township I was preaching at last Sunday morning, and it was considerably warmer than this. It was basically a concrete walls with a tin roof, which is not sensible in the midday heat, but they're full to capacity virtually, and they were full of the joy of the Lord, and I bring you their greetings. And also had a great privilege of going into a very large prison, and there was a group of men there who were seeking God and passionate for Jesus, and I bring their greetings as your brothers in Christ here this morning. So I want us briefly to look together at the Word of God, this teaching of Jesus. And in this portion of Scripture, Jesus talks about three things that as disciples we should do in secret. The first thing is helping the needy, this one in praying, and then fasting. So I want us briefly to look at prayer, private prayer this morning, and to see what the Lord wants to say to us, remind us of and encourage us into. So just want to look at four things relating to private and personal prayer. So the privacy of prayer, the priority of prayer, the practicalities of prayer, and the privilege of prayer. Now, as a young boy called a pastor of a local chapel, one of the pastors of a local chapel, and he wanted him to come round and pray for his mother who had flu. Now, the pastor knew this boy and said, "Well, why are you phoning me when you go to another chapel?" He said, "Well, we didn't want to take any risks with my own pastor getting flu." Now, one day, Joe, Bob and Dave were hiking in the wilderness area and they came across a large, raging, violent river. And they needed to get to the other side, but they had no idea how to do so. So the first chap, Joe, prayed to God, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross the river." And boom, God gave him huge arms, huge legs, and he was able to, with great difficulty, took him a couple of hours and he nearly drowned, but he managed to swim across the raging torrent to the other side. The second chap, Dave, seeing this, he prayed to God. He says, "Please, God, give me strength and the tools to cross the river." And poof, God gave him a rowing boat and he's able to row across the river with great difficulty. It took him about an hour and the boat nearly capsized a couple of times, but eventually he got to the other side. And then the final chap, Bob, seeing how this worked out, he prayed this prayer. He said, "Please, God, give me the strength, the tools and the intelligence to cross the river." And poof, his wife appeared beside him. She said, "Have you got a map?" He said, "Yes." She looked at the map, walked 200 yards up the river, saw the bridge and walked across it. There we are. I thought the ladies might like that one, to feel affirmed. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." When you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Now, I don't want to teach my grandmother to suck eggs, but sometimes we need a bit of encouragement. Sometimes we need to be reminded. And this is what this scripture is doing today, the words of Jesus. Prayer is central, isn't it, to our relationship with God. We can't be fruitful Christians if we're not fruitful prayers. We can't be mature children of God if we're not properly communicating with God our Father. We can't claim to know Him if we're not spending quality time with Him. It's the same in any relationship. If it's just coexistence, eventually it's going to shrivel up. There needs to be an investment of time to make a real relationship work, especially a more intimate one. There needs to be time alone together. We'll come on to the priority of prayer in just a moment. So this is the privacy of prayer. Jesus was being countercultural in his teaching and his commands here in Matthew chapter 6, because some of the contemporary religious leaders were making it a bit of a professional prayer time. This is what he's drawing attention to. They made their prayers a public spectacle. They dressed up in their fine robes, which is attention-seeking clothing, if you like. They marched out into the public places, the middle of synagogues and street corners, as it says there in verse 5, to be seen by men. They prayed with eloquence, they prayed with poetic semantics, they prayed with theatrical vigour, they prayed a long time. They prayed repetitively. Jesus says, babbled like pagans, vain repetition. They prayed to impress others. It was basically a bit of a performance, an opportunity to show off their spiritual language, their theology, their priestly status. It didn't impress God, of course. It was completely pathetic. There was a lot of this kind of stuff around in those days, and today in some parts of the church, it's just the same. And we need to beware those who are worship leaders, local preachers, ministers and the like. We must make sure that everything we do is done in a humble and with a genuine heart before the Lord. That we're completely right with him before we dare to open our mouths. And that it's all about him and not pointing to us. That kind of behaviour of spiritual pride is an abomination to God. And Jesus said that these public performers had had their reward in full. That's what it says here in this passage. And later on in Matthew 15, Jesus says about the religious leaders, quoting from Isaiah 29:13, "These people flatter me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." In the context of Jesus' teaching here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the importance of private prayer. Go into your room and close the door. And he says, go to that secret place. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. That's Matthew 6:6. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The Father who is in the secret place, that Greek word is krypto, means secret, to cover, to conceal, to hide. Shutting out the distractions of the world to be alone with your heavenly Father. Friend, this is so important. Get into the private place. Wherever that is, wherever you need to go, get into that hiding secret place alone with your Father. So the priority of prayer. Time spent communicating with the living God is time well spent. Amen. Time spent with the living God is time well spent. In an age of time, hooray, an age of time-saving devices and gadgets, we should be able to make time to be alone with God, even if it's just 10 minutes, ideally longer. Turn off those devices. I've said this before. By doing so, you're breaking the strongholds of worldly addictions, of which there are many. Show God you mean business, that he's not to be squeezed in like another job or a routine. He's your creator. Friends, I plead with you as individual children of God to prioritise prayer. Now, if you analysed your average day, what do you spend your time on? They've done various, there's been various sociological studies on this, and they say most people spend their time on personal hygiene, food preparation, eating, and hopefully clearing up afterwards, domestic duties, cleaning, ironing, shopping, walking the dog. Obviously, as a cat lover, I don't have that distraction. Exercising, watching TV, community activities, church work, sleeping, social interaction, and various other things. Apparently, the average person now spends more time on their phone and laptop than sleeping. Did you know that? The average person spends 8 hours and 41 minutes on electronic devices per day. This is 20 minutes more than the average night's sleep, it is claimed. 4 in 10 smartphone users check their phone in the night if it wakes them. Why don't you switch it off? Pity's sake, use your brain. More time is spent checking emails in the morning than eating breakfast. More fool you then, I love my porridge and toast. Sleep experts warn constant exposure to devices is leading to poor sleep. Expert advises making a bedroom a tech-free zone in order to boost rest. There we go. In the 21st century, we've never been more distracted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's only going to get worse. Where does prayer fit into your daily routine? Or should we say your daily discipline, because we are disciples. Do you have a secret place to go with God? Because each of us needs one. Yes, you can talk to God any place, any time, and it's great to keep the communication open. But if you want to grow in your walk with God, if you want to start moving forward in your spiritual walk, if you want to see more of God's power in your life, you need to spend quality time with Him. And please don't think I'm pointing the finger at you. I'm also preaching and reminding myself this morning, because I need to hear this too. The practicalities of prayer. So sit, get alone with God. You, the Lord, a Bible and a notebook to write anything down. Not a device, but a book. A Bible, not on a device, but one of these funny books. They still sell books. Because, as I've mentioned before, this doesn't reset, update, ping, ding, ring or sing. It's just wonderfully quiet. Please let us not be afraid of the silence. Often it's the only time that God can actually speak to us. My wife jokes about that because the Lord often speaks to her through dreams. And I joke with her and say, it's the only time you're quiet, dear, when you're asleep. Very rude, but thankfully good sense of humour. But yes, we have to listen, because God can speak to us through dreams. And often the Lord will remind her of somebody, person, and she knows now to text them or phone them or email them, and they'll say, how did you know? I say, well, the Lord spoke to me last night in a dream and said I should contact you, and say, oh well, this has gone wrong or that's gone wrong. So the Lord wants to speak to us. So we mustn't be afraid of the silence. Stating the obviously, prayer is communicating with God. It's a two-way thing, like all true communication should be. We need to speak and listen, read and listen, talk and listen, meditate on God's words, be still, and remember that we can be completely honest with God our Father. Ideally, you can get somewhere when you're in the secret place where no one else can hear you, or wait till people go out or something. Then you can sing or shout or scream or cry or plead or sob or wail or whisper or even try talking normally. I've tried all those things during my walk with God. And you don't have to use, this is a relief, you don't have to use weird religious language. You can talk normally. Have you ever been to a church service where somebody starts to speak in a weird language or voice when they pray? Have you been to churches like that? I have. I knew a particular colleague in a particular church in a particular place. He says, being tactful as possible. And he had a lovely Geordie accent. But when he prayed, he turned into this weird religious person. He's sort of like a, "Dear Lord, we do humbly beseech thee earnestly in this particular case." I thought, why are you putting that voice on? Just be normal. Talk to God. He knows us. He knows our hearts, doesn't he? We don't have to put a mask on. In God's presence, we're safe. We're protected. We're accepted. We're significant. We're wanted. We're loved and secure. As we continue to learn in our Freedom in Christ course. By the way, for those of you, it's session 3 this evening at 6:30 at IMC, so don't forget to come along. We don't have to go on for ages. We can get it off our chest. We can be real. We can be completely 100% honest with the Lord. We can kneel or stand or lie flat on our faces, whatever. So the privilege of prayer, the privilege of prayer. I love that old hymn, I'm sure many of you know. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So finally, the privilege of prayer. Now, have you ever met a really famous person? How did you feel in their presence, if you have? Now, I'm sure it was far from routine. I can't recall meeting anyone really famous. I do remember when I was a little boy, I went to Buckingham Palace with my dad because he got an MBE for something, and it was the 1976, so the Queen was off. But the Queen Mother presented my father with his MBE, but my sister and I were sitting up in the balcony, way up. So it's about the closest I got. And I remember as a little boy in Bedford, when the Queen opened an old people's home and she drove past and waved in my direction. That's what I claim. That's about as close as I got to a very famous person. But I have been in the mighty presence of the King of Kings. We can all say that, can't we? We are in the presence of the King of Kings. And when we come alone into God's presence, so dear brother was reminding us about the picture of the bird in the hand, as it were. We, as small that we are, we can come into God's presence. And during my lifetime, I've been in almost the manifest presence of God when I've been praying, and suddenly I've been aware of the mighty presence of God. And maybe you've had a similar experience when you're praying and suddenly it's like the doors of heaven open and you're in the presence of Jesus. And I remember on one particular occasion, I just had to be silent. My words stopped and I just got on my face before God. How totally awesome and profound. What a tremendous privilege. Friends, Jesus, of course, he is real. There's nothing and no one like him, is there? To be in his presence. There's a lovely old song, isn't there? A worship song. To be in his presence, not rushing away. He's the altogether lovely one, and it's such a privilege to be in his presence and to come and bring our prayers in private to him. The privacy of prayer, the priority of prayer, the practicalities of prayer, and the privilege of prayer. So just in conclusion, I don't know whether you've ever had a conversation with somebody and they're not giving you their full attention. Don't know how that makes you feel. You go and talk to them, and they're looking over your shoulder, or they're looking over somewhere else, or they're on the autopilot saying, yes. I have to be careful, as I've mentioned before, about that when I'm talking to my wife and watching rugby. And my wife is trying to hold a conversation with me. And I can do the auto reply, yes, dear. And occasionally she'll catch me out. So don't do that. That's rude. That's naughty. Don't do that. If somebody's talking to you, try and give them your full attention. But it's the same with God in prayer. And I believe God is saying to us this morning, can I have your attention, please? Will you stop and sit with me a while? Will you give me your undivided attention? Will you not rush off? Will you listen to me? My dear child, busyness is not fruitfulness, it's just busyness. How can I refresh your spirit if you're always running off and doing something else on your list? I want you to cast all your anxieties on me. I want you to be still and know that I am God. I want you to bring your petitions to me. I want to hear you express what is on your mind. I want you to talk to me because I am your loving Father. And I just sense the Lord say this, says, yes, I've given you power to change some things using your time, talents, and generosity, but there are other things that you cannot figure out on your own. There are situations that are not solvable, humanly speaking. There are trials which need my divine intervention and are impossible to overcome without my power. Humble yourselves before me, says the Lord. Simply stop and be quiet in my presence. So I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to sing as we prepare to share around God's table, as we give him